Good morning. It's Friday, September 13th. From the Ryersonian, I'm Karen Sandoval Santana.
And I'm Charlie Buckley.
You're listening to Blue and Gold. For the first time, Ryerson students have been given the choice to opt out of ancillary student fees, including funding for campus institutions, their own student union, and student-run press outlets. This week, Ryersonian news editor Mena Alnaka sits down with us to talk about how these choices affect student life and student wallets. Later in the show, we hit the streets to see why students are opting out and talk to editors from the Eye Opener to find out what's at stake. Stay tuned for all this and more on this week's Blue and Gold. Hi, Mena. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
This year, Ryerson students can decide where they want their money to go on campus. Can you tell us how we got to this point?
Well, it started with Doc Ford getting elected in 2018.
Together we made history. We have taken back Ontario. We have delivered a government that is for the people. The party with the taxpayers' money is over. It's done.
Then in January, he released an announcement that there will be changes to the Students' Choice Initiative.
I am proud to announce that starting this September, Ontario's Government for the People is introducing an unprecedented 10% tuition reduction at all publicly funded colleges and universities in the province.
The Government of Ontario is putting students first when it comes to their student fees. Student fees, on top of tuition, often called ancillary fees, can cost students anywhere from several hundred dollars to $1,000 a year, and even a couple thousand dollars a year. These fees often get allocated to services students do not use.
So now students will have the choice to opt in or out of non-essential fees.
And this is because of the educational cuts.
Yes, that's true. So before, the non-essential fees were decided on with a democratic vote. Now this will be changed and they will have the choice to opt in or out.
Can you outline what is encapsulated in these optional fees?
Yeah, this includes the Ryerson Students Union, which is going to be around $24, the WISC Student Refugee Program, which is around $469, and the CJRU Ryerson Radio, which is around $373.
Could you tell us how much a student could save if they opted out of everything?
It's going to be around 60.
Is there any word yet on how many people have opted out?
Not yet, but we spoke with Vice Provost Students Jen McMillan, and she said that the opt-in numbers have been high so far, but exact numbers will be available most likely from early to mid-October.
What I can say is that we're pleased in terms of the trends of what we're seeing, and that we're seeing a high number of students opt in and support the services and programs that are offered, so we're really pleased and excited about that.
And she also said that the university has been consulting with affected organizations to help them stay viable, but the university doesn't have a specific plan on replacing their funding.
Right. What could this mean for groups and institutions affected by these opt-outs?
It'll mainly affect the organizations that were funded by the Students' Union. So with it being a choice to opt in or out, that could leave the union in a more critical state, which is going to affect the organizations that they funded, obviously. And some of these organizations include the Sexual Assault Survivor Support Line and the Good Food Center. Also services like the Student Jobs and Student Discounts and news like the Eye Opener will get affected too. So there's been a lot of protests happening since the decision.
Students united will never be defeated.
And they've been happening across Ontario from different universities to oppose the decision, but nothing has changed yet.
Thank you for joining us, Mena.
Thank you so much.
A campus institution since 1967, the Eye Opener has long been a voice for students on campus and a watchdog for the community. We're joined by Valerie Dietrich and Emma Sandry, news editors for the weekly campus paper. In a sentence, can you outline the role the Eye Opener plays on campus?
I would say that we
really try to hold the university and the community around it accountable. Like you said, we're watchdogs for what goes on for campus. And honestly, I think the best way we can describe ourselves is that we're by students for students.
I would echo that and say that because we are an independent newspaper, we're able to do things that maybe campus media that is attached to the university or attached to other groups around campus can't do. And we are run by students, and our goal is to amplify student voices and cover issues that are important to students that students want to know about.
In the past 2 years, the Eye has made headlines in off-campus media for its investigations, namely the suspected bedbug infestation in 2017 and the RSU financial controversy this past school year. Could you tell us a little bit more about that?
The bedbug story, I wasn't an editor at that time, but I was a volunteer, and actually our editor-in-chief, Jacob, was my news editor at the time, our previous editor-in-chief, Jacob. And I know that that was a story that was kind of born out of curiosity, and they kind of heard about the bed bugs, but they received an answer that there wasn't any bed bugs to my knowledge. So then they kind of just, I guess, plucked up the courage to go into the Vic building and kind of search around for them. And then they found one, and then they took a photo of it, and then they got some exterminators to confirm whether or not they were bed bugs. So I believe that's how that story came about. As for the credit card story, it's kind of a complicated issue. So it kind of actually started when I was a volunteer, and I was working on a completely separate story about the RSU, and I had gotten a tip that this was something that I should look into in terms of like the fact that they hadn't been releasing their quarterly financial statements, and that might have something to do with the fact that the executives had credit cards. And then when I actually got on to Masthead, that was something that we kept pursuing. And we were fortunate enough to have a source who did give us those documents. And then when that whole board meeting happened, everything kind of blew up, of course, as you know, on Facebook and on Twitter. I was the one who was live tweeting that, and it was my first time live tweeting, so that was definitely a nerve-wracking experience. And then we were actually able to kind of get the executives on record and kind of confirm that those were financial statements. And then the story kind of snowballed from there, and it was picked up by like CBC and the Toronto Star, and it was just kind of a crazy whirlwind week. And I think that's something that I think really exemplifies to students why we are important, because we are, you know, as I say, we are an independent student newspaper. We are able to pursue whatever stories that we think are important, that students think are important, without having perhaps a Ryerson oversight or input from the university. So we are able to hold the university accountable, the student union accountable, and a bunch of other stakeholders on campus.
I think we really think about the students when we're doing our coverage. Like every week when we're doing the paper, we think, okay, what do students want to read? What do they want to see out of us? And those big stories really allow people to trust us, and they allow people to think like, wow, the Eye really does some great work. And we do. We do some amazing work. And I think they're really integral to just people knowing who we are and why we're important and what we do. And I think at this point, like especially from the credit card story, everyone knows who the Eye is. Like everyone knows what we're about, and people want to come to us with their stories. They want to be involved and they want to know what's going on. And we're like right there. We're always there, and we're always on to try to find the next story and just keep students informed and let them know what's happening on their campus and how it's affecting them.
So why does the Student Choice Initiative mean so much to the Eye Opener?
Well, I think that's kind of twofold. So kind of going back to the credit card story, what ended up happening with that, it was kind of bittersweet because for us, it was like, wow, we kind of broke this huge story and it's really important and students are having such a positive reaction. But then that story was, you know, picked up by other outlets. And of course, Doug Ford tweeted that this was an example of why the Student Choice Initiative was, you know, important. And that was really kind of a bittersweet moment for us, because we were happy about the story, but then it was kind of twisted into something that really hurts us as an organization because we do receive student opt-in fees, and those opt-in fees are crucial to keep us, you know, up and running, to help us do what we do on a daily basis. And then on top of that, because we get those opt-in fees, we are able to remain, you know, independent, right? We don't get direct funding from the student union, for example. We are our own organization. So that just helps us keep doing what we do in terms of like our style, our voice.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of these opt-in fees, how much does the eye-opener cost each student, assuming that they opt in?
It is $565 for the entire year. Yes, that's what it is.
So it's basically the price of a Starbucks cappuccino for independent student journalism.
It's cheaper than a Balzac's coffee.
Yeah.
And so what kind of costs go into running a weekly student newspaper?
A lot more than you think. There's, you know, obviously the printing of the paper. Printing is very expensive. There's just all the other things that go in the background.
Obviously, we have money for legal fees. So sometimes when we write our stories, you know, people don't like them and they do want to pursue legal action. I don't think anyone has actually ended up suing us, but we do have that. And then we pay for our staff. So our general manager, for example, she gets a salary. We pay for equipment, so computers. We pay for events and organizations, events for like students on campus. We've held workshops. We've held talks with like industry leaders about like how to make it in journalism, for an example. So those are things that kind of go into how we run our paper.
And especially with the opt-ins, like, I think people sort of don't understand how much it costs to run a paper. I think people sometimes open it and they're like, oh, it's just a paper. But there's so much that goes on in the background. Even just having that $5 from every student, it makes a huge difference. Like, without that student levy, it is really hard for us to just keep doing what we're doing every week. And without that, it means we can't operate.
So what would you say to people who don't want to pay for the eye-opener?
I think I would say, honestly, pick up a copy of our paper and you'll see yourself in the paper. There is something for everybody in the eye-opener, on the website, because we really cater to students. Like, everything we do, we think of them first. And I think if someone doesn't want to opt in, obviously, it's their choice, but we really encourage people to try to support their campus paper, support student journalism, especially independent student journalism, and think about all the stories that we've done and how it's impacted you, and think about what it'd be like if it wasn't there. If you didn't know about the bed bugs, if you didn't know about the credit cards, how would that impact your life at Ryerson University?
Mm-hmm. I think also just to add on to that, I think students, there's a reservation, I think, particularly when it comes to journalism, that it should be seen as just something that's accessible to all. And that's obviously like a conversation to be had about the accessibility of journalism. But I also think, you know, like any other job, people who work in journalism deserve to be paid for their work. So that's the same with the eye-opener, right? We have full-time staff who deserve to be paid for the work that they put in every single day. And I think that it's just, there's a lot more than just we put out a weekly paper, right? All of our editors are working 24/7. I don't think there's a moment where we're really off the clock. So I think that just take into account that, what would the school be like if we couldn't afford to run? What would the school be like if there wasn't an eye-opener to hold people accountable or to amplify student voices? And not just even from the news angle, but like, you know, we report on arts and sports and all aspects of the community. When you lose that voice, you know, who is really there to represent the community? Because, like, for example, the Toronto Star, the CBC, they don't have the resources to have somebody on campus 24/7 reporting on the news that happens here. We're here for the students. So I think that if you lose on-campus journalism, you're really losing a vibrant part of the community.
Where do you see the eye-opener in the future this year?
I think despite the Student Choice Initiative and despite however much our budget ends up being, we're not going anywhere. We're going to keep doing what we're doing. It doesn't matter how, like, it might change a little bit depending on what happens with the student choice initiative. We might have to be more creative. We might have to change our methods of, you know, putting out a paper. But it doesn't mean that we're just going to stop. It doesn't mean that we're just going to be like, well, we don't have anything, so we're just going to not do it. Other outlets don't have the choice to do that, and neither do we. So we're an independent paper who just, we just really want to serve the students. And it doesn't, I think at this point, we just all know as a masthead, like, we're just going to keep doing what we're doing. We're going to do our absolute best to do it. And that's all we can really do. We just have to keep pushing through it and essentially just be the eye-opener.
Yeah, I think if you look to, like, the origins of the eye-opener, when they started, they didn't have any money, and they were just a scrappy paper who was trying to be an independent voice for students. And I think, you know, if we have to go back to that, then that's what we'll have to do. But we are very clearly people who are dedicated to this paper and people who are dedicated to the students on campus. And I think that shows in our work. So we're not going to go anywhere. Even if we lose a substantial bit of our funding, we'll still be here to serve students. If that means that we might have to downsize, if we might have to do other things like maybe running less papers, then that's something that we'll have to do. But overall, we're not going anywhere.
Thank you so much. That was Valerie Dietrich and Emma Sandry from the Eye Opener.
Are students opting in or opting out? We spoke to a few Ryerson students about how they made their choice.
Hi, I'm here with
Aya Tursui, and I'm a first-year civil engineering student.
So, I have a question for you. Have you opted out of any fees? If so, which?
I've opted out of all of them.
Why did you opt out of the fees this year?
I just felt like I'm an international student, so I don't really know lots of the programs you're doing, so I thought, you know, better to come here, figure it out, and then probably next year include it in my fees.
Sarah Monroe, I'm a third-year social work student.
Have you opted out of any fees?
No.
Why didn't you?
Because they're important for, even if I'm not a part of those programs, the programs are important and valuable for other students.
Gino, I'm a third-year social work student.
Have you opted out of any fees? If yes, which?
I didn't opt out of anything.
Why didn't you choose to opt out of any fees this year?
Things like that are really important to certain students, and for me personally, it didn't really impact me as well. Like, I'll partake in some of those things that I opted in for, so having those services available could benefit me as a student here. It was only about like $66 to opt in for everything, so it's surprising to think that some people would opt out despite how quote unquote low the fee is, or some other students might think it's in the hundreds of dollars, but for me it's not necessarily impactful that I contribute kind of like, I don't want to say the small portion of money because like some fraction or margin is either a mountain or a hillside for other people, but for me I could contribute to this fee and not really see it impact me that much.
Ron O'Connor, first year journalism student. I think I opted out of most of the fees on the Ryerson page except for I think the eye opener. I think most of the other ones except for that one. I think it was mostly just to save money, but since I'm in journalism, I know the importance of free press, and I think I could really, it was really good that I sort of donated towards that cause because I think a student voice is pretty important.
And do you know how much you've saved?
I'm not sure, actually. I just opted out because I wasn't really sure about most of the other, what those programs sort of offered for me. So I'm not sure how much I saved, but I just opted out anyways.
We decided to ask how long he thought the Student Choice Initiative was going on and how long people had been opting out.
The opt-out thing has been going on.
I'm not sure.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a really interesting angle.
Yeah.
It's the first year.
Is it?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Was that because of anything in particular, or was it like... Doug Ford? Makes sense. That, yeah, makes sense.
It's just occurring to me
yeah.
that a lot of us upper year students, we know this is new. Mm. But first years, like, you wouldn't know that. You would just
yeah.
be part of the written.
That's what I thought, yeah. Okay. I thought it had been going on for a long time, but I guess not. Okay.
Do you think it's a good initiative?
Probably not. But because I think the other programs are important, I was just completely broke, but I wanted to donate towards, you know, something that was closer to me. Personally, I think it's good that they're given a choice, because some people with, like, who are in financial need should have a choice. But since the fees are pretty low, it just kind of gives students an easy way to, you know, opt out for no reason, I guess.
With a new school year and a new system for how money flows on campus, just how much is coming to Ryerson's campus groups remains uncertain.
It's Blue and Gold, I'm Charlie Buckley. Here's what else we're following this week. On Ryerson campus, construction on Gould Street continues into the fall semester. As Ryerson works to convert the university's main thruway into a permanent pedestrian area, students are forced to navigate detours and back routes between classes. The school says it hopes to be done with construction before the end of 2019. Elsewhere in downtown, it's been more than a year since a catastrophic electrical failure displaced 1,500 residents in an apartment building on Parliament Street. Tenants say the building's management has been insufficiently helpful finding and funding temporary housing as repairs progress. And in Ottawa Wednesday, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau requested that the Governor General officially dissolve Parliament, kicking off a 40-day lead-up to the federal election on October 21st. Official campaign funds can now be put to canvassing ahead of voting day. That's all for this week's Blue and Gold. Catch up with us next week for more of your community's top stories. Blue and Gold is a production of the Ryersonian and the Ryerson School of Journalism. Our host is Karen Sandoval-Santana, executive producing by me, additional reporting by Mena El-Naka, Kevin Tagabon, Chelsea Gould, and Samantha Moya. Our editor-in-chief is Maria Seru, managing editor Juliana Perkins, instructors Peter Bako George and H.G. Watson. Graphics by Aria De Lima and Sophie Diego. Special thanks to Angela Glover, Lindsay Hanna, Daniela Oleru, and Gary Gould. My name is Charlie Buckley. Thank you very much for listening.